If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
You might have heard on our Bites News yesterday about the controversy surrounding the destruction of 10,000 bee boxes, which contained $2 million worth of honey at Springbank Honey. And it's also been reported on TV news as well. And we thought we'd find out more about this because it seems quite brutal. And from Springbank Honey, Stephen Brown joins us. Hi, Stephen.
G'day. How are you?
I'm okay. What about you?
I'm surviving, putting one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. I asked that because before we are chatting now, I looked at the TVNZ story about what has happened to your business. And that fire of you burning the bee boxes is it must have been heartbreaking for you.
It was absolutely devastating.
Yeah. Okay.
It was gut-wrenching for our family to watch a good part of our business just go up in smoke.
Okay, so I'm just going to just read a few lines from that story that went with that video. So an industry group representing beekeepers says livelihoods are at stake after the Canterbury business, Springbank Honey, was forced to destroy $2 million of equipment. They were ordered to burn 10,000 bee boxes after two tests at its shed came back positive for spores of American foul brood disease, or AFP. A lot more details. Yeah, or B, is it? Yeah, AFB. So, AFB. So, a lot more details in that story, but we can get those details from the man himself. So, all right. What is this foul brood disease anyway?
It is a bacteria that infects the brood so that's the baby bee before it hatches in a beehive.
Okay. Now, why did that end up with you having to burn $2 million worth of gear?
Mainly because I peed them off. I stood up against what they've been doing. So the beekeepers came after us. We'd already stood up against them. Some of the people there were our local competitors. And I'd already seen what they were doing is wrong. They came into my shed, did that test. I thought what they went into the shed, they shouldn't have been going into my shed anyway.
They could have, suspicious mind working here with no one observing, no
correct.
One witnessing. You
correct.
Don't know what took place in that shed.
Correct, 100%. You've got it completely right. Under the Act, they're only allowed to burn or order the destruction of AFB, in the Act it says clinical AFB. So there's the actual infected cell. You've got to actually see the disease. This is just the same as if you had the bacteria in your gut that gives you stomach aches. Doesn't mean you've got a stomach bug. It just means you've got that bacteria. Same with this. Arizona University did testing on honeybees right through the US and found the average bee had 178 spores in their gut. That does not mean that every hive in America has got an American foul brood. And same in New Zealand. We buy honey from one end of New Zealand to the other for our processing business. We process this year we'll process over 1,000 tons. We're doing about 100 tons of honey a month. There's AFB in basically every single beekeeper's outfit to a certain degree, whether they can see it in their hives or not. It doesn't mean their hives are diseased. It means they just have this spore.
Well, this is nature, isn't it? This is
correct.
This is how nature works, right?
It does. And we can discuss whether you believe you should be burning the beehives, because you can get in America, you've got a vaccine. We could just vaccinate the queens, and you wouldn't get the disease. That just the same as you vaccinate people or vaccinate cows, you can vaccinate the queen, and hey, presto, this disease doesn't affect them. Or you can give them antibiotics. It's another issue because it's an easy treatable disease with antibiotics, but this is actually not about the hives. This is about the boxes in a shed burning brand new gear that has no disease in it. And if you don't do it, you could go to prison.
Wow. Okay. So the way this took place, did people come into your sheds without your permission, or did they just turn
up? Without my permission. Yep.
Really?
Without my permission. The lady actually came here demanding the keys to our shed. And I said, no, you can't go in our shed. You're there to check the bees. And she spat in my face, and we trespassed her there and then, and said, we don't want you on our property. She was a competing beekeeper anyway. They went straight to the police. The police said, nope, they can go ahead and do it. We recognise that they're allowed to do this stuff, and they literally went straight into our shed.
Is this Nihirika Long? Is that the person you're talking about?
She's the one in charge. She was not the one there. The people who did it are just amateur beekeepers normally, or a beekeeper who they've deputized to go do the job.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of people do not even know what they're doing. And that has been one of the reasons why I stood up, because other commercial beekeepers had told me that they were getting hives that they, quote, had to destroy, that didn't have the disease, that they were mixing up sack brood, which is another hive disease that is completely fine with AFB.
Why are they sending amateurs into the field to do this then? Well, maybe amateurs is a bit harsh, but experts, right?
Well, they're not. Well, years ago they used to use actually proper trained people. Nowadays they're not, because it's cheaper, but let's be honest. But then they're ordering the destruction of hives that shouldn't be burnt. And in the last 10 years, this disease has gone completely rampant in New Zealand. The people in charge of it thought that you should be able to go onto a computer, learn about the disease and take a test to do it on a computer and get approval to check for the disease by a computer, and amazingly take your computer skills and do about it, look into a beehive and assess whether it has disease or not. And it's completely ludicrous.
Boy, I'm pleased the guy gave me the heart bypass 2 years ago, didn't
Correct. 100%.
Go that route on working out how to do it. Man.
Yeah. But but this one here is, these people have basically become little Hitlers, and the people in charge of it, this lady Nia, doesn't even comprehend AFB. Her thing is, if you have 10 spores, we need to go there and eradicate it so you get rid of it. Well, if you're going to go on that, you're going to have to burn every single bee.
Scorched box. Earth mentality, sounds like.
It is. Scorched earth mentality.
Why
it's got nothing to do with controlling. It's beekeepers' fault we have this problem. You've got to be kidding me. Beekeeper's fault.
It's the beekeeper's fault that we can put honey on our toast. It's your fault
100%.
As well.
Now, she blamed the beekeepers for the problem. I go, yeah.
Yeah. Because you mentioned the attitude. I think you said spat in our face. I don't know if that literally happened. But
it was literal. Literal.
How do you explain the aggression?
I don't know. There was my thing. I'd never met this woman before. She said, oh, you made us wait for the key. And then my staff said, we gave her the key to the farm, but she wanted the key to the buildings. And I went, but she's not supposed to be going in my buildings. She's supposed to be going out there to check beehives. What's this about going through buildings?
Okay, so that takes a different turn, because that affects your infrastructure, right, in your business.
Well, they had not returned the key. This was weeks ago we gave them the key. They haven't returned the keys.
Man. Okay, so under the government's pest management plan, they have the power to demand gear be destroyed if they suspect it is potentially contaminated. But that no, that's wrong.
No, I'm reading from the TVNZ story. If you actually go into the pest management plan, it says it has to have AFB, and its definition is clinical disease.
Okay.
So it has to have clinical, which is the way it's been done since 1906. So this is what I'm saying isn't a new thing. This is the way it's always been. They've literally changed just in the last year how it's done. But they're now going into a honey shed a week and doing this.
Okay, so the relationship then with the competitors, because you've got a government or a national agency here, in cahoots with your competitors. Do you understand the relationship? Or the relationships that are at play there?
I do. You've basically got groups of beekeepers who are being deputized attacking the rest of their industry. And they're getting money our levy money as wages and money to do this job, and getting rid of their competitors there at the same time. It'd be like the warehouse going to Kmart saying, oh, I don't think you've done this right. We're going to have to burn you, and just matching the shop. That's what's happened to us. And they go, oh, no, no, they're deputised people. Yeah, right, they're not. They're our competitors, literally wanting our own B-sites to take us over, and they've just gone and matched part of my business.
Do you think the national agency or the people at the top layer understand this is happening?
When I said in cahoots, are they like that? Not Nathan Guy, who controls it.
The former politician, right? That name rings a bell.
Signed this in department. So they control it. I talked to his underlings who control it. They have no idea. One's a consultant, he told me, for multiple government departments, and he owns two beehives. And the other one is Nia is a lady from MPI who has no idea. And this is the issue you're dealing with. It's not scientific. They don't know what they're doing. The pest management plan actually expired a year ago. It's only held on life support by them being sitting on the minister's desk. I got a message through today by a former head of one of the executives saying they're trying to outgo for even stronger powers under the Biosecurity Act.
Why do you think there is a thirst for power here? I mean, I know there's competitive advantage.
They don't want people. I don't know. It's basically, they did that study in the 70s. Basically, once you start giving people power, people become hungry for more. Yeah. And they don't like anybody standing up to them. They think that they are right and everyone should kowtow to what they say and basically bow down to them. And we go, this is a democracy. And you're supposed to do things scientifically. That's just not right. But they've scared off all the little boys and other people and threatened them with legal action and threatened them with prison. And we're not willing to bow down to them. If we were just a small beekeeper and all I did was beekeeping, we would now be going bankrupt.
Right. Wow.
Because I own a farm and I have a processing business and we're bigger than them, we will rise out of these ashes, and we will carry on going, and we're just going to work harder and go forward and do a better job.
$2 million worth of gear, though, that's a bit of a hit, isn't it?
It is indeed. I'm asking people to go and buy some honey off our website and to go to give a little to help pay for legal expenses, because we will be talking to the lawyers. And talking to politicians about compensation. Under the Act, there is no compensation. But since they broke the law, we will be going for compensation. But my first thing, I actually want these people stood down. I want them to be able to stop doing what they're doing to other beekeepers and us. They haven't stopped, by the way. So on Monday, they were still going around my farm, going through my shed to make sure that we'd done it, going down looking for more. They work beehives at 3 degrees. So it was freezing. None of my staff were working beehives because it was too cold. All the hives they work will now be dead because it was too cold to work beehives. But they don't care. You're not infecting. And by the way, our farm is in the middle of nowhere. It's 31 Ks round, and we weren't infecting anybody. This is not they keep on playing it out as a disease issue. We're going to infect our local beekeepers. We're in the middle of the what? We're the only one there. How are you expecting? We picked up this disease when we brought our hive out of there back into the lowlands, basically, and put people had bees around our hives who had walked away from the industry that had disease. Because there's a massive problem because the price of honey had dropped and all the problems, beekeepers have just been quitting the industry wholesale.
Right.
There's a real problem.
Why is the price or the value
dropped? We had a massive crop 2 years ago. And the price the packers are paying the beekeepers and exporters has crashed. MPI went and told the world that there was an oversupply of honey, which why the government would go tell the rest of the world.
Oh, so that was a really dumb move in your assessment, a really dumb move to say anything like that.
Well, because suddenly our export buyers who listen to Trade New Zealand being told that there's an oversupply of honey suddenly said, oh, the price will drop then.
Yeah. They're not there to do that, are they?
you want to try and get a price rise when the person says, oh, no, your government says there's an oversupply. We go, what a load of garbage. Who says that rubbish? The worst marketer in history.
Yeah, well, it's like anti-marketing. The president of New Zealand Beekeeping Incorporated, Jane Lorimer, I think
lovely
is the
lady.
Person, described this approach, the approach that you're describing that has been inflicted upon you, as very concerning. Are you happy with the support of the Because you're talking about some of your competitors who are probably represented by this.
No, they're not. They're represented by the EPI-NZ, which is the politicians on. It's the competing, and they're the ones who control it. They are the competing organisation, and basically they're attacking the people of the competing basically union. And we're on the opposite side of the fence to them, don't agree with the way they're doing things, and since they hold the power and they've got the funding, and we have to pay them, by the way. Remember, I'm still having to give them a check for $6,000 in about 2 weeks' time. It's quite devastating. We would love your listeners to hopefully support us, let people know, share these videos, get it out there, because politicians will only do something if people jump up and down and there's enough people making a noise. And it could happen to them or another family. If there's another disease that turns up, these people don't have to get a warrant. Like, they've got more powers than the police.
Wow.
Like, it doesn't make sense. We wouldn't give the police these powers. Why do we get someone who's had half a day's training or a computer course to go and do these things?
Steve, why didn't you just say, no, go stick it where the sun don't shine. Don't come on my property.
Well, that's what one of these other guys did. And then the police came in to charge him. Hence, they won't say anything. So they told me that, Stephen, if you do absolutely anything, they charge you under the bias. So under John Key, they removed the words "with excuse." So even if they're breaking the law, if you stop, then they charge you with obstruction, which is a 3-month prison sentence and $100,000 or $150,000 fine. And if you want $150,000 next week, be my guest, but not many people can.
All right, we've got a moment or two left. What happens next? You mentioned the Give A Little. People can go and search that out. And you've got a website. You can give that web address maybe before we're done.
It's springbankhoney.
Yep.
.com. And what?
Springbankhoney.com. Okay. What happens next in the short period of time?
I'm talking to the police to try and get an injunction to stop them attacking me. So that's to try and go to court there. And I'm contacting as many politicians as I can to try and get them to stop the powers of these people destroying people's lives. Because remember, I might be able to fight it, but there's a lot of little beekeepers out there who can't, and they're just literally destroying them. We would love, the industry would love the public support. We really need New Zealanders to help us.
Who would have thought so much warfare was going on in the honey business? Most of us are totally unaware of it, particularly me, till now. So it's, to hear all that. I want to thank you, Stephen Brown from Springbank Honey, for coming on. We're talking about the destruction of your 10,000 bee boxes, $2 million worth of honey in there. And we'll follow what happens closely, Stephen. And, you know, if there's a major update, maybe we'll get you back on.
Thank you. Much appreciated for your time. You have a great day. Thank you for your listeners.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.